Welcome to our show, Examine Life, on KKRN at 88.5 FM in Bella Vista at Round Mountain. I'm Steve.
And I'm Pat.
Plato said that the unexamined life is not worth living. So on our program, every first and third Monday of the month, we try to examine different aspects of human affairs from a perspective of human nature.
And tonight we are going to examine the subject of the state of Jefferson. And we had the opportunity to have Mark Baird on the show, whom we're going to interview. We've got some questions for him, and he's going to tell us about the state of Jefferson.
Thank you for having me on. How are you guys doing tonight?
Just fine.
Doing well. We're so excited to have you tonight. California needs to learn about this process and where we are with it. And what it can do for the state.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to help you with that. We, as you know, we went down last Thursday and we presented two of the six declarations we have. They're declarations and petitions to withdraw from the state of California. And I think it's really important to examine the jurisdiction. I had a, it's very smoky here because of the forest fires. I had a Redding County supervisor ask me, what gives you the right to sit before me and make a case for breaking California in half? And so it's important to examine the jurisdiction so that people understand that we not only have the right to do this, and a right is a funny word, but the right means that we cannot be denied. It is our absolute right to do things as the people.
It sounds like he's actually saying why you have the right to speak.
He was saying that he would like to have said that, but he was asking me directly why I would have as an individual the right to come before a governmental agency and suggest that the state of California be broken in half. And I told him, I sat with this guy for 5 hours. So we probably had 40 cups of coffee, and I said to him, that's the easiest question you've asked me all day. We the people. In order to form a more perfect union, we had a union before the Constitution. We had 10 presidents of the United States before George Washington. But the Articles of Confederation failed to serve the people. And so the people abolished that form of government and instituted a form of government that was more favorable to public health and safety, more favorable to their wants and desires and their needs. And so in our Constitution, we have taken a journey from articles from subjugation by monarchy to Articles of Confederation to Constitutional Republic. And in the Constitution, we made some discoveries. And that is that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that government is instituted among men in order to guarantee those rights. Government has one purpose, and that is to secure and guarantee the inalienable rights of the people. The California Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, says that all power, all governmental power, is derived directly from the people, and that when government fails to serve the people have the right to abolish that form of government and to institute government more favorable to their needs. So one thing we want to make very clear, I'm a reserve deputy sheriff in Siskiyou County. I'm a veteran. I was a pilot for 25-plus years with an airline that served the military, essentially. We did other jobs, but that was one of our big jobs. I am not anti-government, and I'm certainly not anti-law. I love the law. I love the government, the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, because it allows us so many liberties, and it, in theory, guarantees those liberties. California has failed to do that, and it has failed to represent the people. We are taxed, but we have no representation. Therefore, it is time for the people of rural Northern California to abolish that form of government and form a government more suited to our wants and our needs and our public health and safety.
I don't think people realize that if you support the state of Jefferson, you're not anti-government. You are a patriot. You are supporting that original government, the Constitution. And I think a lot of people get kind of waylaid by the idea that there's something wrong with the process.
And I think between the two halves of California, we just have different populations, and we need a government that serves our population a little more the way it was originally determined.
Well, we have differences in California, but quite frankly, those aren't why I see the need to separate. We're always going to have differences, and in Jefferson, we want to practice inclusion. Jefferson is a state for all of the people that live here, no matter what it is they want or need, no matter what their personal creed is, no matter religion is, no matter what their race is. Jefferson is a place for all of its people. However, one thing we do not enjoy in California is representation. We do not have a state senator for each county, for example.
We seem to be losing your signal.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, it was the 1872 Constitution in California that guaranteed that each county would have representation. But Earl Warren in the Supreme Court, he invented a principle called one man, one vote, and said it was unconstitutional for state elections to be carried out by area, by geography, even though he absolutely ignored the Constitution of the United States. This principle is not found in English common law. It wasn't found in colonial law. And it certainly wasn't found in constitutional law. Earl Warren was very proud of the fact that he forced 30 state legislatures to change the way they elected state officials. And that's really what brings us here. Because the Warren Court issued an opinion, and under Article 3 of the Constitution, they're not allowed to decide things. They may only issue opinions on things. He issued an opinion that effectively altered the Constitution of the United States without the legislative approval and without the people. But what that did in 30 state legislatures, it caused the lower house and the upper house to be rubber stamps for one another because they're both elected in the same way now by apportionment schemes that were supervised by the courts. So what we propose in the state of Jefferson is a state where the counties have the lion's share of the power. The state does what states do, and that is act as a liaison with the federal government, help counties arbitrate with one another, administer federal programs, and talk to other countries and other states. And if a county wants expertise, if a county wants state intervention, then the state is free to give it. But otherwise, counties should run themselves. You are better equipped to educate your children than someone 900 miles away is. So we propose that, and we propose that each county have a state senator and that we have a part-time legislature. And that way we can not only afford to be a viable state, but we'll be fiscally profitable as well.
That sounds to me like the way the original founders of the federal Constitution intended things to be.
You're absolutely right, and that's very interesting because the Constitution, and people say, well, times have changed, they were old, we're more modern, we know more than they do, they couldn't imagine the Internet, they couldn't have imagined a lot of nuclear weapons, they couldn't have imagined the communist threat. That's all true. However, the Founding Fathers lived in changing times. In fact, their experiment changed the world forever. It scared the dickens out of every monarch in the world. It changed technology. It allowed the creation of industry and replaceable parts and businesses that they couldn't have imagined when they began. The Founding Fathers knew about changing times. The Constitution was not meant to protect us from changing times. It was meant to protect us from human nature. And human nature never changes. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's what the Constitution was meant to protect us against.
And the Constitution has proven to be very flexible with all the previous inventions from automobiles to airplanes to technology and warfare. It's been very flexible.
It's kind of built on some basic truths, I believe, that allow it to function properly through all of the changes in technologies that we have.
Well, what you said is very intuitive. It does operate on certain truths, and those are the truths that we find to be self-evident. And it was the Roman senator Marcus Cicero who said, some laws are not written on paper. Some laws are written in the hearts of men. And those laws are the inalienable natural laws, the rights that you are born with, the rights that you just know about as a free-thinking, independent human being. And Article 1, Section 1 of the California Constitution says we are free and independent people by nature, and we have the right to pursue, possess, and protect property. And so now when we look at California now, where they want to put a meter on everyone's well, where they want to take your money without you having a chance to say how it should be spent, where they want to raise the gas taxes until you're paying $3 a gallon more than anyone else in the country, and all of those things supposedly to save the environment when they really don't intend on saving anything and they aren't saving anything.
Well, they've been redirecting money from road taxes and everything else for a decade now, and that's why all of these funds are supposedly broke.
It seems to all be based on some kind of a new principle that you don't need to be responsible for your own life anymore.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's certainly California's philosophy. And you know, bless their hearts, I know some very progressive people. My sister's one of them. And, you know, she would dearly love to see a world where everyone gets everything and it's all provided for you and it's a safe place and you never have to work or wonder and your environment is controlled and your food intake is controlled and you have not too much money but not too little money. And, you know, we already have a place like that. We have places like that all over the country. They're called prisons.
Right. And my question is, it's a more fundamental nature, which probably a lot of people will think is pie in the sky. But my question is, if they were to succeed at that, which is actually impossible, in my opinion, but if they did, then where would you derive the meaning of your life?
Well, that's a very good question. And that's one of the things that faces people in prison, because, as I said, we already have places like that. They're called jail. Your environment is controlled, you're given food, water, you don't have to worry about anything, you're protected, you're governed, you're comfortable, you have clothing, it isn't great, but it covers you, you have food, it isn't great, but it feeds you, but you have no say over your own affairs. In other words, you have no liberty, and liberty is very, very important. Now, Benjamin Franklin made a very interesting statement about liberty. He said that property must be secure for liberty to exist. When you live in a state that will not allow property rights to exist, there can be no liberty, because you never know from one day to the next what it is that you in fact own and what parts of your property you in fact will be allowed to use and what businesses you will in fact be allowed to engage in. You have no say over those things in the state of California. And in the state of Jefferson, that will be a far, far different picture.
That brings me to a question, bringing up the prisons. Would that mean we would escape AB 109 and the crime problems we have now?
AB 109 is a California law. It wouldn't be a Jefferson law.
So we could get out from under that burden.
We could not only get out from under that burden, but according to the state legislative analyst's office, the assets that lie within the new state, within the state of Jefferson, that formerly belonged to California would then belong to the state of Jefferson, because let's face it, we were Californians when those things were taxed and built, and we helped pay for them. So we have a right to own prisons that lie within the state of California. Now, here's something that probably most people don't know. Only 3% of the prison population comes from the state of Jefferson. The other 97% would come from what I'm just going to refer to as Lower California. So we would be responsible to pay 3% of the prison bill, and we would send a bill to California at a market rate to house those prisoners in the prisons that now belong to us. So the guys that are, for example, we hear a lot from the prison guards. They're afraid their contract's going to change. They're afraid that they won't get the same stuff they were getting from California. That's not our intent. No matter what you call our new state, we still need prisons. We still need prison guards. We still need people to work on roads and things like that. But we intend to be far more efficient, and those guys, in fact, would probably get a raise out of the deal.
That brings me to the subject of budget and financial survival. How everyone, I think, is very nervous about how the state would survive financially, and would we take too much of the debt that is already existing in California? Would we be too heavily burdened by that debt?
Yeah, I wonder, too, how they'll manipulate those numbers to end up seeing what our responsibility would be in the state of Jefferson.
Well, here's another thing that the state legislative analyst office wrote. So these aren't my figures. These are the state of California's figures. And by the way, they're very favorable to us. The state's attorney general's opinion of the debt structure, and because let's face it now, we must be a moral people or our Constitution won't work either. The fact that the Constitution doesn't work, you could lay at the feet of legislators who are not moral people. We don't intend that. We intend to be moral people in the state of Jefferson, and we intend to take responsibility for things that we're responsible for. So, as Californians, we didn't have representation when the money was spent, but we weren't asleep either. So we are responsible for a portion of California's debts. Now, fortunately, there was one aspect of Reynolds versus Sims, the one man, one vote Supreme Court case, that helps us a great deal. And that is that we would be apportioned debt based on our population. Since we only would have 3% of the population that California has, we would only be required to assume 3% of its debts. Now, fortunately also for us, California's government is filled with liars. They are not taking responsibility for the approximately $1.4 trillion worth of debt that we can ferret out of their numbers. They're only taking responsibility right now for about $380 million. So our part of that would be very, very small, $38 million, say. That's or $98 million or whatever it happens to be. For some reason, I cannot do multiplication in my head now. But we would be responsible for 3% of that $380 million, which is very manageable. And also, because of the Equal Footing Acts and the Enabling Acts, which allow all new states to enter onto the national stage with equal status and an equal chance of success with the other states, we could negotiate for that debt, interest payments, principal, so on and so forth. And when West Virginia did it, it took 150 years for that to be settled, and it was settled on very, very favorable terms for West Virginia. And there are other aspects of withdrawing from the state and the Equal Footing Act that would give us a fiscal leg up to profitability the first day. That being the ability to recapture control of federally managed lands for beneficial use of our state and getting them back on the tax rolls. The last example and precedent of that was Alaska. They gained control of over 4 million acres that were placed back in beneficial use for the state and essentially gave them the financial leg up that they needed.
Is that a negotiation you have to go through with the feds to get that the control of that land back?
Yes, and there are nine western states right now that are making a very, very serious run at regaining control of federally managed lands for the state's beneficial use. So we would not only have help from those nine states, we would become the 10th state involved in that effort, but because we would have the benefit of the Enabling Act and the Equal Footing Act, we'd have a real leg up in that process. You know, a guy can't make promises about that because it hasn't happened yet. But there is a very, very real chance for that to occur. In addition to that, we can open up our resource businesses for responsible use. Nobody wants to cut down all the trees or kill all the fish. We can open up our resources for responsible use, reduce the danger of catastrophic wildfire, go back to healthy stands management. In Siskiyou County alone, timber harvest on federal land paid for the road department, all of the schools, and the sheriff's department.
It goes back to your concept of local minds can manage all of these resources much better than some all-seeing, all-knowing central organization.
Absolutely, sir. You're absolutely right about that. And by the way, some of California's legislators elect are picking up on this. We've already been approached by two legislative candidates who wish to openly support the state of Jefferson in exchange for support of the people to help them make the new state of Jefferson. So we've had some real progress with politicians elect anyway. And we hope that since approximately a third of the Assembly and half the Senate is going to be replaced this year because of term limits and elections, we're really hoping to reach out to all of these candidates and say, if you support state split, we will help support you.
Now, in our own county down here in Shasta, how do you get around these kind of stonewalling tactics where they won't even take it up to listen?
Well, that's pretty interesting. I'm not a Shasta resident, so the things that I say are simply my observations and experience from dealing with some of these guys. You've got a couple of really good people. Bill Chappelle, for example, is a real leader. He's not a politician. The rest of them seem to be politicians, not leaders. We think they were guilty of Brown Act violations, and we're in the middle of proving that. We can think of a couple off the top of our heads, but I don't want to elucidate on those until we have our proof, and we're getting it. And so what they did was not only unethical, but it was illegal.
I was infuriated by the fact that they spent, I don't know how many sessions, on the Turtle Bay Hotel for their pal Warren, but they allowed 5 minutes for this monumental possibility, and the only thing they were really voting on was to allow us to participate in the discussion, the debate, and the ultimate vote, and they denied us that possibility.
That's correct. They did.
By a five-minute conversation that they had a spokesman in that particular meeting. And I shudder to think how we can get them to recognize our rights to at least participate in this process.
Yeah, I think that they must have felt empowered to do that because they did it and they seemingly have gotten away with it so far, although the jury is out on that. I mean, it is an over in Shasta County. And Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution, which allows us to split a state, is a beautiful thing. It was envisioned by the founders. They must have seen the need for adding new states or breaking states in half or into bits, as it were, because it's in the Constitution. And the beautiful part of Article 4 is this is a provision that was designed for the people alone. And all it says is, nor shall any state be created from parts of other states or territory within an existing state unless the state legislature agrees and Congress agrees. We don't really need the declarations from Shasta County. The reason we want them is we want the county government and the people to have a chance to say whether they're tired of California and they want to try something different, if they want to start over again and get back to the basics of good government, or whether they're happy with the way California runs their affairs and they just prefer to be taxed to death. So we're going to each county, not telling you how to live, but asking you the question, are you happy with the way things are? Because if you're not, we have a plan to do something about that. And in Shasta County, the Board of Supervisors decided that you would not have a say as people in whether you want a new start or whether you want to stay with California.
And how do we get them to allow us to participate?
Well, that's a good question. People voted for these guys, and they put them in their chairs. So, for example, one of them made promises at town hall meetings during his election campaign that he would place this on the ballot so that the people could vote on it in November. And he lied about that promise.
And I was at one of those meetings, and I was very disappointed at the Board of Supervisors meeting that it happened after the election when they had taken a stand and it was too late for us to vote against them.
Right. But the people have all just power. And the people do have the power to rectify this wrong if they choose to do so. There's a mechanism called a recall election. There's recourse through the courts. There are possibility of Brown Act violations. There's the possibility of groups of people showing up at the supervisors' meeting and demanding adequate representation and an adequate fair hearing on the issue, or demanding that it be placed on the ballot. That's the purview of the people. And look, let's be serious about this. The reason we're in this fix to begin with is because we, the people, have not been paying attention. After all, what is the price of liberty? Eternal vigilance.
That's right. That's exactly right. We brought this on ourselves.
And I emailed my supervisor many times. I never get a response, but I've emailed requesting my supervisor to bring this back up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being stonewalled.
And so by not getting that response, is your supervisor providing his or her constituents fair representation?
Okay, not to, you know, dwell on that poor, I'm not sure that it's a remedy that's feasible at this point, but what relationship does the six-state breakup have to the state of Jefferson, and do you see it as a possible benefit that the state might say, okay, rather than us have to be breaking up the state in six, why don't we just break it up into two?
Well, the six-state initiative was done independent of our efforts. We weren't made aware of it. We weren't a party to it or privy to it prior to its announcement. Mr. Draper is a very wealthy individual from Silicon Valley, and his perception of how California would work is far different than ours. Now, his heart is in the right place. There were things that he didn't understand when he wrote the initiative. For example, he did not understand Reynolds versus Sims, the Supreme Court opinion, and he also drew the lines to the new states based on economic potential. But unless you correct representation and dilution of vote, economy is irrelevant, because if you were to break California into six states along its current model, what if you were unfortunate enough to live in this state that housed San Francisco? And you'd never have any say, because San Francisco County would have all the votes.
And also, economics can change.
Oh, that's right. Economics can change. In fact, Alejandro Pico, in 1859 or 60, when he wanted to break California in half, and by the way, it passed the California legislature, and it was in Congress waiting for action when the Civil War broke out, and it was just never acted upon. But his premise for breaking California in half was the agrarian South is being taxed to death by the affluent North. So economics absolutely can change.
That's right.
One of the things that I noticed in the six-state initiative was his economic outlook for the state of Jefferson was based on the fact of taxing the Emerald Triangle.
And
A couple of certified growers of marijuana, and their premise is, please tax us and make this a legal occupation for us. We'll pay 20% tax. Just make it legal for us to do what we're doing.
Yeah, and I don't really have any comment on that, because to me, that would be up to a county. If a county wants to make marijuana growing legal, that's up to the county, but it's certainly nothing that, I mean, I have my own opinions about marijuana, and I have my own opinions about how the county I live in should treat marijuana, but certainly I'm not the emperor of Jefferson. So I would more leave that to a state's constitutional convention or to people in the county who want to live with drugs. It's certainly up to them to vote for that and tax it accordingly.
Talking about money and income, what does the budget look like? I know when I attended one of the meetings earlier this year, somebody had said that there were proposed budgets based on how many counties would be involved in the new state.
Yeah, we have an 88-page financial document that was very well researched, and it has certain budgetary pictures in it, but we need to know how many counties are going to join us before any of those budgets are relevant. We surmise, and from just our basic research on the original effort, that if we had the 10 to 13 counties we kind of initially envisioned, that our GDP would be about 15% bigger than the state of New Mexico on day one. Now, what a lot of people say is, well, Jefferson would be a poor state, and because the state legislative analyst's office report says so. But first of all, that LAO report was written based on the six states initiative, which does not include a couple of the counties in Jefferson that we think we're very much in a position to have join us, for one. And for two, the legislative analyst report assumes that there would be no upside potential in the state of Jefferson. It simply takes the number as it would be at the inception of statehood. So what we say to people who are asking, well, we would be poor in Jefferson. Well, we're poor now. So why is it okay to be poor in California when every day new taxes are imposed but it wouldn't be okay to start out poor in the state of Jefferson when the only direction we'd have to go from there is up.
Think how poor this whole country started and what freedom and personal responsibility did to that poverty.
That's right. It created the richest nation on earth, and it was an experiment that caused civilization to leap ahead 6,000 years. And also, Daniel Webster said, hold on to the Constitution with all your heart, my friends, because miracles don't tend to cluster. And what's happened once in 6,000 years is not likely to happen again. And we suggest that we have a narrow window of opportunity to create the state of Jefferson with a constitutional republic that protects property and property rights and the individual's ability to use that property to make a living for himself and his family. We project that we can use our natural resources responsibly to create a wealth and jobs for our people. We will create a place that has a business environment with regulations that are friendly to innovation and to businesses coming to our state. And so all of the businesses flocking to the exit in California would simply move up the road a couple hours and pitch their tent in the state of Jefferson. And in addition to that, as the first state split in 150 years, tourism alone would probably fund our economy for the first 10 years. So really, the picture in Jefferson is very, very bright. We don't need 571 state agencies, so we don't need to pay for them. We don't need to pay a full-time legislature in a small rural state. We don't need a great many things that California seems to blow the dough on. I think the financial picture in the state of Jefferson is...
We just lost your signal again, Mark. Are you still there?
Maybe we should take a quick break and get him back.
Yes. We're going to take a break, and Mark will bring you back on in just about 4 minutes. You're listening to Examine Life on KKRN 88.5 FM, Bella Vista and Round Mountain.
Give me a kiss to build a dream on, and my imagination will thrive upon that kiss. Sweetheart, I ask no more than this, a kiss to build a dream on. Give me a kiss before you leave me, and my imagination will feed my hungry heart. Leave me one thing before we part, a kiss to build a dream on.
Join the discussion. KKRN boasts a variety of talk radio, both from local and syndicated sources. We want to stimulate thoughtful and meaningful conversation. KKRN can offer more real conversation because we are supported by listeners. You have a voice.
Make them believe they're true. Oh, give me your lips for just a moment, and my imagination will make that moment live.
The infinite possibilities of music are showcased by the eclectic panorama of song styles that you can find on KKRN Radio. You won't find our musical explorations on more mainstream commercially driven stations. From classic country to new age, from classic folk to classic rock, from blues to jazz, and music from outside our country. You'll find it all on KKRN listener-supported radio, radio that makes you listen.
Imagination will make that moment live. Oh, give me what you alone can give. I kiss the pill I dream on.
Hi, this is Examine Life on KKRN Bella Vista in Round Mountain, 88.5. I'm Pat, and Steve is with me this evening, and we are interviewing Mark Baird with the State of Jefferson.
Still with us, Mark?
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good to have you on air.
Before we move on, I'd like to talk a little bit, or actually let you talk a little bit, on the water issues. That what would change with the State of Jefferson in relation to how the water issues are handled now in the state of California?
Well, water rights are water rights. Pre-1914 water rights, which were garnered by people prior to the California Constitution, prior to the state of California getting into the water permitting business, I should say, those belong to people. They're real property, so nothing would happen to those. Now, as far as Central Valley projects and big state water projects, it's pretty interesting because the Equal Footing Act also makes provisions that all things are on the table, including water rights, as far as a new state goes. So, for example, rivers that run through Jefferson and the people derive no benefit from that water, that in all probability would have a very, very good chance of changing. And at least we would be able to exact fees from Lower California for the fair transfer of water, which our people would not have a right to. In other words, a great many things are possible if we achieve statehood. None of those things are possible if we fail.
Now, that's kind of how I envision the water resource management changing. But my uninformed feeling is that the feds are going to try to control our water as much as they can. And is that possible that it's going to render any differences in California moot just because they will somehow strong arm our water supplies?
That's what our opponents would like you to believe, that, well, the feds are the feds, so what's the difference if you're in California, you're still in trouble, and what's the difference if you're in Jefferson, you'd still be in trouble. That is absolutely, positively, categorically not the case. That's not true. First of all, we have the 10th Amendment. The 10th Amendment, the enumerated powers, limits federal government intervention into state affairs to those things that are physically enumerated in the Constitution. Now, knowing that, and also knowing that there are Supreme Court cases which enable states to come onto the national scene with equal footing to other states, and no provision may be enacted by Congress or the former state in order to deny those privileges to the new state. So there are not only cases that are specific to onerous and torturous regulations which would burden the new state. Those are prohibited. But the federal government's intervention into any state is limited by the 10th Amendment. However, you must have a state governmental framework with the backbone to stand up to the feds and protect these counties so that they can conduct business the way they need to for their citizens. California doesn't do that. California allows the federal government to break the law anytime they want. In fact, they enable them, because they have very close ties in the state capital to the federal government. There are already precedents being set in some counties to deny federal access to county property. In Otero County, New Mexico, the county declared a natural resources state of emergency due to overstocked trees in the national forest. They directed the sheriff to entertain requests for proposals to log the national forest down to the federal forest management plan that's already been approved by NEPA and CEQA and survived all the court challenges. And the sheriff did that. And they had two mills operating within the first 2 months. People are at work, and they're not only logging, but they're saving themselves from dangers of catastrophic wildfire. Do you know how many times they were sued for that? None. Do you know what the federal government did? Nothing, because the federal government has zero jurisdiction over public health and safety. Zero. That's the purview of the state, the county. None of the environmental groups sued, because under the Equal Access to Justice Act, their lawyers only get paid when they're suing the federal government. They don't get paid for suing a county. and most environmental groups aren't environmentalists, they're law firms.
Getting back to water, you have a great deal of experience in water issues and water rights, do you not?
Yes.
And what are those?
Well, we started out here many years ago when the California Department of Fish and Game came to our county and said, oh, by the way, you're going to have to get a new permit to use your water right, even though our water right is 150 years old. They said, you're going to have to get a new permit. It's going to be about $25,000 per ranch, and we're going to have access to your property anytime we want to inspect it and inspect your use of the property and so on and so forth. And so we started out by forming a group, and we told them no. We would never get their permit. Come and arrest all of us if you think you can. We're never going to sign our property rights away. We are never going to allow unauthorized inspections by state or federal agencies and go away. And guess what they did?
They went away.
That's the kind of courage I think is missing in a lot of our political endeavors today.
We need to find that mental toughness again. We were tough people once. We have done incredible things in this country. We're still the same people. We got a little lazy. We went to sleep for a while. But I believe in my heart, and I'm not a big time waster. I don't have time to waste. If I didn't think this could be done, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I believe we're the same people here in Jefferson. I believe this not only can be done, I believe it has to be done if we're to survive here.
And it'll probably be healthy. Well, it will be healthy for both halves of the state.
It will be. It'll be a win-win for California, and that's what we were trying. We went and visited several legislators in the Capitol on Thursday to explain our position, what it is we're trying to do, why we need to do it, and we were trying to help them understand why Lower California would win from this, too. They would be free to concentrate their vast resources and all of their political power to solve problems that people in the North State don't have, don't understand, and aren't any help with. Things like large infrastructure, big freeway projects, gangs, earthquakes. I mean, I could go on and on. And we, on the other hand, would win because we would be free to use a smaller rural government. We would be free to form a constitutional republic that protects property rights, and is inviting to business to come to our area with proper representation and restore our economy. It's a win-win for everybody. This is not a bad thing for anyone in California.
Now, what are some of the key strategies that those of us who are interested in helping this go forward, who are not in the leadership position, the day-to-day people, what are the things we need to start doing to help facilitate this process? I think most of us are really ignorant of the details of what kind of strategies we need to do.
Well, here's how the regular guy who wants liberty can help. And there are a couple of things you can do. First of all, we're coming up to a big election. It's very, very important to ask anyone who's trying to gain state office, state assembly or state senator, one question. Where do you stand on state split? Where do you stand? Are you in favor of it or are you against it? Because if you're against it, we're against you. And we have gotten a couple of state legislative candidates to say they support the state of Jefferson and will introduce hearings and will help introduce legislation in exchange for voter support. And we want to support leaders, not politicians. Another thing that ordinary people can do, and this is very important, we're developing a list, and you can go on the Internet and get this, but we're actually going to start printing these and handing them out at town hall meetings, but they're on the Internet. It's CaliforniaAssembly.gov or CaliforniaSenate.gov. People can go to those websites. The names, numbers, and addresses of every single state legislator in California are on there. What would be fantastic and what would probably win this for us is if every regular person would make two or three phone calls a day. It takes less than 10 minutes. Call different legislators every day and say, I live in rural Northern California. I am not represented in state government. I favor state split, and I want you to support it as well. And if we could get 10,000 people to call three different legislators every day, they would be inundated with calls, and it would change the dynamic.
The squeaky wheel gets the attention.
That's correct.
Yep, it's the thing that they hear about when they hear enough of a certain subject or a certain opinion, they start worrying about their reelection. And that's how you focus politicians.
That's correct. And it only takes a few minutes. I've done it 1,000 times myself. You call on the phone, you're going to get a staffer. He doesn't really care who you are. He's going to ask your name, where do you live, you tell him, and then you say, I'm not represented in state government. I favor state split, and I want your assembly person or your senator to help us bring about state split. Thank you very much for your time, and hang up. It takes 1 minute to make one of those phone calls. If every citizen in the state of Jefferson, and we figure we're going to have about 1 million people, would make one phone call a day, we'd have a new state faster than you could blink.
That's true. We just need to get the word out.
That's correct.
Where are we going forward? Where is the whole organization right now as to the progress?
Well, we've made excellent progress. We have 6 counties now who have affirmed declarations or resolutions and petitions to withdraw from the state of California. 6 counties. That's incredible, I think. In about a year, we've been...
We're losing you again.
Yeah. So what we're doing now is we have 6 declarations. We think we're going to have 3, possibly 4 more in the next 2 or 3 months. That's going to be 10. And we're talking to 10 more counties. We have town halls going on every single weekend for the foreseeable future somewhere in the state of Jefferson. So we're engaged. We're getting people to form committees in their counties. We're making presentations to boards of supervisors all over Jefferson. And we're not finished in Shasta County, by the way. It's not over in Shasta, not by a long shot.
Well, that's encouraging for me to hear. Where is a central source of information that people can use to keep tabs on where the movement is and the things that they can do and the resources they need?
Did we lose you, Mark? Yes, we lost Mark. We'll go to a really quick break and be right back. I don't know if we lost.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
It is a wonderful life, and you can find snippets of it on KKRN live shows, done by local volunteers and supported by you, our listeners and underwriters. You can contact our show at examinelife@kkrn.org, or if you want to find... Hi, this is Examine Life. We're back on air with Mark Baird with the State of Jefferson. And one of the other questions that we had for him was, a lot of people are concerned that they're going to lose city police or the law enforcement or fire suppression by cutting away from the state of California because they provide a lot of these services. Is that true?
You there, Mark?
Okay. Are you there?
Yes. It sounds like there's playing in the background.
Okay. We don't have anything playing in the background, but
let's...
Okay. I don't know if you heard my question.
Okay. Now say it again. Now I can hear you.
Okay. One of the concerns a lot of people have is that they're not going to have any police protection or fire suppression services that the state is very much involved in providing for us.
Well, that's another propaganda message that our opposition would like to get across to people, and it's absolutely silly. I mean, when you think of any other state, all other states have state fire protection, all other states have state police protection, and we would have the same thing. You know, all of the jobs, we have all of the jobs that Lower California has. We don't have quite as many of them because we don't have as large urban centers as they do, but we have the same occupations. We have doctors, nurses, policemen, sheriff's deputies, pilots, you know, all of the things they have. So it's positively silly to think that we wouldn't have those occupations as well. And in fact, we would have departments that have even more experience because by far the most experienced firefighters live in Jefferson, not Lower California. And so we would develop those resources, and we would try to do it efficiently, and we would try to do it correctly so that we had the same level of service or a better level of service.
And by changing our management of the forests, we may not need the service that we've needed up till now.
Well, actually, we have right now where I'm looking out my window, we had to dig a fire line around our own house a week or two ago. We're looking at over 1.5 billion board feet of lumber that's gone up in smoke due to the failed management practices of the state of California with regard to the spotted owl and the coho salmon. So what they said was, if you don't log, we'll save the environment. Well, we stopped logging about 20 years ago. The owl population never increased, so they didn't save the owl. The coho salmon population has been the same for 110 years, so it had nothing to do with that. But now we have 10 times more trees than those forests typically warehouse. And there are only three ways to get fuel off a mountain: chip it, log it, or burn it. So what happens to the environment after 160,000 acres of prime timber burn to the ground? What happens to the owls then? What's the carbon footprint of 1.5 billion board feet of lumber going up in smoke? And I'll tell you what it is. You can park all of the cars in California for 2 years, and that fire put out more carbon emission than all of those automobiles did. So the state of California, I hold directly responsible for not only the severity of the wildfires here, but also the duration. Because now they have a practice going in Siskiyou County where they're not putting the fire out, they're managing it.
Yes. Back to the police services. We, most of our services are provided by city police and county sheriff, which would stay intact, and our basic state level is California Highway Patrol, which we would create a new Jefferson Highway Patrol, I'm assuming.
We would be free to create any agency we wanted to create, and you're absolutely right. Counties right now do the lion's share of the law enforcement, and I'm a reserve deputy in Siskiyou County, and so I know how that works. Highway Patrol does traffic management and helps out here and there. But basically, Highway Patrol stays on the freeway, and they write tickets. So that's very easy. That's a very easy service to replace, and the county sheriffs and city police departments, of course, wouldn't change at all. And with restoration of payment in lieu of tax timber receipts, we would have stronger departments that are better equipped and better manned. Once we unlock resources for the beneficial use of the citizens of Jefferson, our state would be better funded, better managed, and better staffed than California is now.
Which we desperately need. Everyone is complaining about the onerous taxes or whatever from the state, and all of those who say they want to move out of California because they can't do business here anymore, or they can't drive their big rig truck anymore, or they can't sustain employment here. These are the people that should be supporting the state of Jefferson.
And in a state that fosters personal rights and personal responsibilities, I think the nature of our crime would be different.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. The nature of crime would be different because people would begin to take responsibilities for their own lives and start to pull away from that nanny state mentality. But in addition to that, you know, we have the ability to create industry here. We're not poor here. We've been impoverished by regulatory processes from the state of California. And guess what? You haven't seen anything yet. Get ready for the tax by the mile. So you're going to be taxed for every mile you drive in your car, and Lois Wolk threw that bill into the hopper. And if it doesn't get signed by the governor, it'll go back in the hopper again next year. Kevin DeLeon threw that bill in the hopper to have to have your thumbprint and get a permit to buy 22 bullets so you can plink with your grandson out in the backfield. He's thrown that bill in the hopper four times. He's probably going to throw it in the hopper again next year. These are the things that California does, and they keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And in the state of Jefferson, we would have an environment where those things just don't exist.
The water issue, that water tax on wells has already passed the state assembly, has it not?
Oh, yes, it has. It's on the governor's desk, ready to be signed. And where there's a buck, you bet he's going to sign it.
And the water bond issue, is it not already proposed and ready to sign also?
The water bond is going to be on the ballot for November of 2014. And I read the water bond in its entirety, and I have already taken issue with some state legislators about its makeup. For example, it's $7.8 billion, the bulk of which is nothing more than a hog trough that special interest groups put their snout into and suck up the public nickel. And your grandchildren, by the way, are going to be paying off this water bond. There are hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in that water bond for outfits called the Ocean Conservancy, so that they can save the environment, the Santa Monica Mountain Conservancy, so they can save the Santa Monica Mountains, the Coachella Valley Conservancy, so they can save the Coachella Valley. Apparently, all of these things apparently need saving somehow. Very, very little of that money is going to be used to actually build needed water storage. In addition to that, there's $550 million in the water bond in order to rip out four perfectly functional hydroelectric dams on the Klamath River that serve 70,000 people with the cheapest, cleanest, greenest power on the planet. Now, they don't say the money is for dam removal. Now they're saying it's for fish impediment removal. Well, why on earth would a bond that in people's mind is going to be used to construct facilities to provide more water to the state of California and the citizens of California be used for everything under the sun except building those facilities? Why would that be a good thing?
And this reminds me of how they divert the road taxes, and now they need more money for roads. It's like if you quit diverting money for intended supposed purposes when we pass it as an initiative, we would have the money. But they keep doing special interest projects or other things that we misappropriate that money.
Well, here's the reason why, and this is another. This is really the underlying reason why we need the state of Jefferson. The reason this works this way in California is because one state senator represents a million people. One state assembly person represents about a half a million people. You know how much those election campaigns cost? It's millions and millions of dollars. Who pays that money? Certainly not the candidate. Very few of them are wealthy on that scale. Certainly not us. We contribute very little toward the millions and millions those campaigns cost. It is the special interest groups and the lobbyists that pay those people to get elected. They're paying for their campaign. They're giving them the perks. They're giving them the little bonuses that they get. And so when you go to work, you owe. You owe those special interests a return on the favor, and they get those returns in the forms of water bonds and things where their groups can use the public nickel to buy themselves things that they want or to gain power and gain influence for their group. In the state of New Hampshire, where each representative has about 3,000 constituents, a political campaign costs about $1,000. The guy pays his filing fee, he gets in his car, and he knocks on every door in his district. They don't have the lobbying influence because the big money isn't present. In the state of Jefferson, we will have one representative for a maximum of 30,000 people, and that's a high number. I'm hoping to get that much lower, say down to 10,000 people.
Mark, we've just about run out of time. We're coming up against a hard break of the program. I want to thank you for your service to the country and for your work on the state of Jefferson, and we've really had a great time having you on the program. I hope we can do this again another time, but I know you're a busy man.
Well, thank you very much. I'd be happy to do it anytime you like, and the time has come for 51.
I agree. And we really appreciate your answers to all the questions. And I'm sure the next time we have you on, we'll have a whole new list of questions as the movement moves forward and people come up with new ideas.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to speak, and I'd be happy to do it again whenever you need.
Thanks again, Mark.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Good night, and you've been listening to Examine Life on KKRN Bella Vista and Round Mountain 88.5.